We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Flash right now.
8 a.m. from the 105.7 FM, the Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on the Fan, the Packers get set for next Monday night when they welcome the Detroit Lions for Monday Night Football. Green Bay 4-1 this season. The offense just starting to click a little bit. Yesterday, tackle David Bakhtiari joined the Wendy's Big Show to talk about what's different from this season than last season on the offensive side of the ball.
For me, the biggest thing is we're not one-dimensional. That's the only thing I can really think about. Our ability to run the ball if needed, pass the ball if needed, flip the field with special teams, get the turnovers on defense, be lights out on defense when we need to. We can win games in multiple ways. And that, for me, hasn't always been the Packer way. It's always been the offense got to put up points and hopefully the defense can hold.
Catch that full interview with David Bakhtiari from the Wendy's Big Show on the Radio.com app, as well as our Fan On Demand. Major League Baseball postseason rolls along. The Rays tie up their American League Division Series with the Astros at two games apiece last night with a 4-1 win. Justin Verlander chased out of that game after just 3 2/3, gave up 4 earned runs and 3 walks while striking out 5. Series now shifts back to Houston for a deciding Game 5 on Thursday night. The winner will play the Yankees in the American League Championship Series. Coming up today, the Braves host the Cardinals in Game 5 of their divisional series at 4:02. Winner of that game will face the winner of the Nationals and Dodgers. They meet tonight in the nightcap, 7:37. Steven Strasburg takes on Walker Buehler. Coming up tonight, the preseason continues for the Milwaukee Bucks. They host the Jazz in their second preseason game of the year. Tip-off for that one, 7 p.m. at the Fiserv Forum. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. The update brought to you by coaches on South 13th. Cheer for the green and gold and Wisconsin. Enjoy specials on Miller and Coors during those games, as well as giveaways and raffles at coaches on South 13th and Lake Dunoon. Is Aaron Jones an elite back in the NFL? We discuss with you, 414-799-1250 here on The Fan.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
When you look at it, the teams that beat in the NFC, and it's going to be week to week, which is amazing, it's the Green Bay Packers. They are the best team when you look at the top end of this conference. Aaron Jones, I think he just scored again. 4 touchdowns. He was incredible. I thought this was one of the most important wins of the entire season. On the road in Dallas, no Devontae Adams, and Aaron Jones was just terrific.
He's a weapon. When he's on his A game, there's nothing that he really can't do. He's a stud. That's all I have to say about it. He's a weapon. He needs to be accounted for in every phase.
Adam Schein, CBS Sports. David Bakhtiari on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday. More from David Bakhtiari coming up, including explaining the holding call he got nabbed for, and he had a good explanation, which we'll have coming up. He admits fault, but maybe not on that play. So we'll hear from David Bakhtiari coming up in just a little bit. Arthur Arkish to talk NFC North with us, Pro Football Weekly here at 8:30. 414-799-1250. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath as well. Aaron Jones had a monster game against the Dallas Cowboys. 4 touchdowns is the main stat line. More than 100 yards in that game as well. And that's really how the Packers won that game, by continuing to grind him with the 19 carries, maybe not running him outside, putting him on the inside. And there he was popping off 9-10 yards of carry at one point. And it makes you think, well, where would this guy rank if he got this sort of continued work rate for the Green Bay Packers? Now, yes, Devontae was out. You needed a playmaker.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams wasn't there. He used Trey Carson a little bit. Actually, for a while, I thought they were going to split those two because Trey Carson was getting a lot more time than I thought he was. But I do think that not only can the Packers use Aaron Jones as an Alvin Kamara type, but he could be in that conversation as one of the league's top backs. I think there's guys like Christian McCaffrey could be the MVP. Saquon Barkley. I put Ezekiel Elliott up there. I would put Kamara up there in the first tier.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jones should be in that second tier with consistent play time.
Yeah. You don't want to overuse him, though, because he's got, as we know, he breaks down. And he has broken down. He hasn't broken down yet. You know, he's taken a couple of hard hits, but he's always popped up this season. But he's gone through some injuries. And, you know, I think we had this conversation about a year ago. It's like, should Aaron Jones get more touches? Should he get 20 to 25 touches a game? And then we realized, well, you know what? Maybe that's not a good idea because he has all sorts of injuries, and him getting the ball 20, 25 games, times a game is not a good idea. Now, he did it once. This is not going to be a consistent thing, though. Even at Devontae.
You mean I can't expect four touches from Aaron Jones every week?
Four touches?
Four touchdowns?
Oh, four touchdowns. No. You won't get 20 to 26 touches, maybe four touchdowns. But I don't think 20 to 26.
I shouldn't trade my entire fantasy team for Aaron Jones with the guaranteed work rate?
No, I wouldn't do that. But again, I think they're going to.
Actually, my teams are so bad, I don't know if the other guy would accept.
A guy like that, they're going to taper throughout the season. They're gonna pace him a little bit and making sure he's healthy. Want to stay him, you know, to keep him healthy. Sports teams will do this. The Brewers do it with Ryan Braun, who's got a history of injuries. You know, the Bucks will do that. The Packers will do that with certain guys. Well, they'll just know they got a little history. If too much playing time, and it sounds weak, but it says too much hitting and all that. You know, these guys are gonna get hurt.
So you think he's a top back? You just want to see him not run into the ground?
I think he's got a talented guy. I just don't want to, you know, he's not going to do any good if he's on the sidelines around the injury report.
Facebook.com/1057FM. The Fan is where Dan chimes in. Jones led the league in yards per carry last season, vastly underutilized under McCarthy. Get him the ball. He's a playmaker. Now, he won't put up 200 yards every week because they've got too many weapons, especially with some of these guys returning, but Jones is definitely a top back. You can also tweet in at 1057FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. Tim is in Tosa. Tim,
boys.
What up?
Hey, Tim.
Morning. How you been, Tim?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We good.
Fired up as always. I love it. So, Aaron's got a long way to go before he's considered the elite guy. But what he is he's a guy that can keep, being healthy and used enough, he can keep other defenses honest while, you know, the offense is allowed to work out, you know, their passing plays and whatnot. So he's a hard runner, but yeah, I have him in my fantasy league, and I was overjoyed with that production, but I wish I could spread that out over a couple weeks and not just get it all in 1 week from him.
I know, I had him in a league where we lost, and so it's like we wasted the four touchdown week.
He's got a long way to go, but you know, if he stays healthy, he is a workhorse and he will keep defenses honest, but I he's got a long way to go to be in the top tier. Start him every week. You know, if we're talking fantasy, just because he does have that upside with the offense, but he's got a long way to go. But if they use him right, like Chuck said, if you don't burn him out, he'll keep defenses honest. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Tim and Tosa.
799-1250. How's Aaron Jones going to bounce back after a night in Fada like last night? He was made an appearance in Fadi.
He has a weekly show there.
Yeah,
they nabbed him his rookie year.
Yeah,
a radio station up there, and so yeah, Aaron Jones every week. If you want to make it up to Fond du Lac.
I think they they take him down in a limo, I think. That's what they do. I think they bring him down from, you know, Green Bay. They just bring him down in a limo.
Well, they're pretty connected. I mean, if Ethan Wolf was at Waukesha Sports Cards today, they'd bring him down in a limo.
Sure.
Ethan Wolf, if you guys don't know, Packers filled out their practice squad. Breaking news we're covering throughout the morning. They have signed a tight end, 6'6", Ethan Wolf.
Not Elliot Wolf. The son of Rod Wolf, who's now in the front office with the Browns.
Actually, I haven't seen a picture. It could be Elliot in disguise wearing stilts.
Could it be? I wonder how Elliot is doing in Cleveland. Remember, he was supposed to be the next general manager of the Packers, and somehow that fell through?
Yeah, well, Packers East isn't going very well.
Not right now, but give us some more time. They made him out of wrong decision on the coach.
It seems that way. You know, other first-year coaches not named Matt LaFleur are 4-19-1.
Yeah.
And Matt LaFleur's sitting there at 4-1.
Yeah.
Looking pretty dang good.
I'd say Mark Murphy, well, again, only through 5 weeks, but that was Murphy's call.
414-799-1250. Steve says, guys, I've never liked Jamal Williams. I wanted the new regime to get Aaron Jones the ball more. But quite honestly, I love this duo. Give Jones 16, 20 touches a game. The difference on Sunday was Aaron Jones got the work in the receiving game. That's what we need to see. It feels different because Jones' efficiency was better. Dallas didn't know how to cover him as a receiver.
Well, you have a little thunder and lightning when you got both of those guys healthy. And they do like Jamal Williams. They think highly of him. They really do. And I think there is a drop-off after Williams. I mean, Trey Carson's okay, but he can't run.
Dexter Williams apparently can't do anything.
Easy.
Well, why didn't he play?
Let me get into this here a little bit.
I know you're a Notre Dame guy.
They didn't trust him.
I don't think he's picking up the playbook. I think you're right on that, right, Frames?
Yeah.
And he's making some rookie mistakes. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out for Dexter Williams here in Green Bay, but I'm rooting for him. But if Trey Carson's getting the carries and getting activated on game day, then there's something going on.
There are certain guys who've played, at least that I know in Green Bay, who've come through, and they got all the talent in the world, and they, you know, they're chiseled, they're athletic, and they can run like the wind, yet they can't pick up the playbook and comprehend it at all. And if you can't comprehend the playbook, or if you can't protect the quarterback, no matter how good of a runner you are, or how athletic you are, or how good you might be, or how maybe you know, the knock on Jeff Janis was he couldn't pick up the playbook in Green Bay. He had all the athletic ability in the world, but he wasn't smart enough to figure out the playbook.
You ask how Elliott Wolf you think he's doing. I wonder how the Janis Tire and Lube Shop is doing in whatever town it was he grew up in, Michigan.
We had Jordy go help him out. Did you guys know that? A little fun fact, a little did you know?
Jordy helped him, Jordy and him hooked up over the summer. Jordy, did you see Randall Cobb's Instagram? Randall Cobb on Instagram sent out a picture, said, retirement Mondays, and it was Jordy Nelson on Monday passed out on Randall Cobb's couch.
I love those guys, man. I miss both of them so much.
Because Jordy, of course, was at the game wearing the Kentucky Randall's Cobb jersey.
Yeah.
Jeff Janis.
When I saw Jordy at the game on Sunday, I was thinking to him, you know, I wonder if Jordy's getting bored about this point of retirement. Because you hear about this, guys will retire, and then they think, gosh, what am I doing? I think maybe Jason Witten got a little of that. Well, of course, he was a horrible broadcaster on Monday Night Football last year with Joe Tessitore. But I thought, I looked at Jordy, I thought, man, he's surrounded by these ladies on the sidelines. Sure, it looks good, but is he bored?
I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it.
Go ahead.
Don't.
Come on, let me do it.
Okay.
Would he be the second best receiver on this squad right now behind Devontae Adams?
Without a doubt.
I think he would. I don't care if he's lost a step. Aaron always knew where he would be.
So the bring back him shoulder.
Hey, Jordy was
what
a bad
dude. He was 4-1.
Guys, that was my point last year.
Bring him all right? back.
That team care. Was doomed from the beginning. You were win 7 games. I would rather win 7 games, mm-hmm. 8 games with my favorite player of all time, Jordy Nelson, than a guy that doesn't even care like Jimmy Graham. Although,
you know,
I can't say
about that with Jordy. What's funny about Jordy? Gutekunst probably was never a Jordy guy. And Gutekunst, the reports were, Gutekunst has admitted to this, that he was at the Super Bowl, and Jordy dropped the first pass, and Gutekunst said, boy, did we make a mistake here?
Stop.
No, I'm telling you, Gutekunst said.
Where'd you hear that from?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
Rookie in Green Bay?
No. Just being around.
That was a big drop. I was pissed.
Just being around, yeah.
So
I'm telling you.
He drops one ball, but the other 700 receptions or whatever
before that.
Make up for it.
No, Jordy, he struggled before that.
Oh, yeah.
What else I'm saying? He struggled before that, and when he dropped that first ball at the Super Bowl, Gutekunst said, boy, are we ever...
Who told you that?
Yeah, what kind of mistake, though? They didn't waste a first-round pick
sources,
on him.
But I'm telling you, that's what happened. Why don't you question me? I've been covering these games for 35 years.
Oh, I'm not questioning it.
This guy is over here.
I don't know.
I wouldn't tell you if it was true. Gutekunst said, he said, I would tell you, Gutekunst thought, Jordy, I think a lot of us thought that.
And I wanted Devontae Adams cut, so I,
and then Jordy
where
went
am
to
I
have
in
a,
this fight?
Then Jordy, after that first drop, went off to have a great Super Bowl, and then, of course, the rest is history with Jordy. But up until that point, I was arguing Jordy could have been the MVP of that Super Bowl.
Let's get to Mark in Gary, 414-799-1250, Gary, Indiana.
What,
That is. How's the radio.com stream working for you, Mark?
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
What's up?
First of all, I'm going to bring up something that not many people are looking at. The first two, three games of the season, I was thinking to myself, hey, what the heck is going on with this offense? Then I thought, okay, let them go ahead and work it out, figure it out, because it's a new scheme. Now, this scheme is it's basically an RPO run-pass option-type scheme, okay? But a pass, run-pass, it doesn't work if you don't have a threat to run the ball. Now, I'm not saying we don't have talent enough to run the ball. However, it isn't enough for us to believe that we have a threat. We need the opposing defensive coordinators to believe we have a threat, okay? So what this does is it opens up that run-pass option. So mark my words, in the next two, three, by the time we play Carolina, we're going to have this run-pass option working to perfection, and the rest of the season is pretty much up, you know, we're not going to be having any problems performing this scheme. So that's all I got to say. I'll hang up and let you answer my call.
Enjoy the beautiful shores of Lake Michigan there in Gary, Indiana today, Mark. Thank you for the call.
Where they now have sports gambling.
Yeah.
Indiana's got it, and Iowa.
We got it here, too. Just illegally.
Just illegally. That's been going on for centuries. But, yeah, Indiana. I guess they're thriving at it down there.
Anthony tweets in and says, hey, Bart, what Chuck is claiming, there is audio of that somewhere. I've heard it. I'll try to find it for you.
Oh, okay. See? Backing me up. Good. Yeah. Don't be – come on. You know, Freeman's going to tell you something. It's going to be accurate.
I'm just wondering why I never heard it before.
Well, because we don't know everything.
Why say
I don't
all these
know
nuggets?
Everything. That's why we're a team.
When you first heard that, you should have called me.
That's why we're a team. That's why we're a team, my man. There's some things you know that I don't know. There's some things I know that you don't know. That's why it's a Chuck and Winkler show with our good buddy Ryan Horvath.
Well, do you know how to get out of this segment and onto the next one? Because I'm not sure I do.
Well,
should the Packers bring back Jordy Nelson 414-799-1250?
That's why we're a team here. Should Jordy have been the hey? Are you a Jordy guy?
Hey, I'll tell you this.
Are you a Jordy guy?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Okay. I own a green Jordy, well, a white Jordy, throwback Jordy.
During that Super Bowl, did you at all think that hey, maybe Jordy Nelson could be the MVP? He had 9 catches.
No, like I loved Jordy, but like Jordy
he had 9 catches.
I wasn't expecting Jordy to become Aaron Rodgers' number one target.
Yeah, but he had 9 catches for 144, and then the rest. I mean, that was a breakout. To have a breakout game in the Super Bowl like that.
Hey, I'll tell you this, guys. I was listening to some Boston talk radio, and their main topic was if Rob Gronkowski or if Tom Brady called Gronk, would he come out of retirement, and would you guys welcome him back? I don't think it's so crazy to think that. Let's say something bad happens. All right, like Devontae, he just can't get back on the field. Geronimo goes down. I would trust Jordy Nelson over bringing in.
Of course.
I don't know. I mean, who would you even bring if you over went to Alan Lazard?
If you went to Aaron Rodgers right now and said, Aaron, hey, we're going to sign Jordy, Aaron would be like, oh, my God. He could come in and move in with me. I'll kick Danica out.
Sorry, Bart.
No, I'm just thinking that, like, I think that if we did a Jordy Nelson-type discussion, I think there would be a lot of people that would call and tweet and say, yeah, he's washed up, too old.
But he had a good year last year.
Well, I think if the Packers did sign Jordy Nelson, he would contribute to this team in an effective way.
Because he had a nice year with Oakland.
Maybe that's why he was in Dallas. He wasn't there to watch the game.
No, maybe.
Or hang out on Randall Cobb's couch. He was looking for a job. He was trying to win Gudikins back
over. He's bored of retirement.
He's like, hey, it was right here, Goody, that I dropped that ball on this field, you know, and you thought
you're
I was
right.
No good.
Exactly.
Look at me now.
Exactly.
Look at me now, Gudikins.
Exactly.
You UW lacrosse grad. Yeah. You guys amount to nothing.
Yeah.
You guys from lacrosse think you're so great. You're nothing, Bart. Yeah. I mean, Gudikins.
Yeah.
I just laugh. We like call these guys old and washed up, and they're like younger than us or our age.
You know, yeah,
like, come on, man. I feel great, and I'm in my 30s. Yeah.
Jordy could have kept on playing. Jordy could have kept on playing.
Decent year in Oakland with Derek Carr and
absolutely.
A first-year head coach.
Jordy could have kept on. He could have kept on playing. You know, sure, of course he could have. If Jordy said, I'm interested in playing, guy, the phone would be ringing off the hook. Well, we'd love to have you coming in, Jordy. Come in and catch some balls for us. You won't be the number one option, but you'll be two or three. and we'd love to have you.
He would have caught 10 touchdowns last year, guaranteed.
He would have caught 10 touchdowns in Jerry World last. Aaron would have had a touchdown pass. He would have found Jordy at the 1 yard line.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. So do we want Jordy back? Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we want to talk about it? No.
Cobb, James Jones,
Jennings?
No.
No, Jennings. Come on.
Oh, and I loved Greg Jennings. He had the most talent out of all
Robert
of them,
Ferguson.
By far.
I feel like Sterling Sharp had some still to offer.
Yeah. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, the baseball playoffs in high gear. Of course, all the football is coming up this weekend. They got it all at the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side. Man, the Q Club of Wisconsin, I talked to Mike the other day. I said, Mike, man, how are things going? I mean, you know, I'm talking about you guys every day. How are things going for your business? He said, man, people are coming in. They're talking about you, talking about us, our fish fries, which we have on Wednesday and Friday nights. Wednesday and Friday nights, four different styles piled high with all the extras. The food there is great. In addition to all the TVs having sports on. And you know what? You might want to watch, let's say, Kansas State against, Oklahoma. And you say, can I have the volume of the game on? They'll turn
the volume.
Oh, go
Kansas State.
Yeah. Yeah.
Home of Jordy Nelson.
Underdog. That's why I said Kansas State.
Yeah.
That's why I said Kansas. So, but Q Club will always deliver big time in that area. And their extensive food menu. I told you about the Friday fish fries, the Wednesday fish fries. They got delicious food options throughout that menu. Top to bottom, appetizers, sandwiches, the burgers are just delicious. Happy hours daily from 3 to 7. So maybe you want to get there and watch some afternoon baseball. They got you covered for that. Or some late night happy hour on Friday night starting at 10 o'clock. That's always a good time, too. Q Club of Wisconsin, Waukesha's Great North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, half mile south of I-94 in Waukesha. Mike Remitz, terrific, terrific guy. Runs a well-oiled machine over there. The customer service there, second to none. They got the huge entertainment room with the darts, the pool table, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, ping pong. They got the indoor bocce ball courts going on. All at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, half mile south of I-94 in Waukesha. Visit them online at qclubwi.com or on Facebook.
All right, I'll put a Twitter poll up, and I put it on my account so that the station doesn't get destroyed.
Oh, don't worry about that.
I'll take the hit. At Wingsting, should the Packers – I'll retweet it from at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Should the Packers try to lure Jordy Nelson out of retirement?
They need a number two receiver.
Well, why we keep talking about signing – we were going to go sign Michael Crabtree.
Yeah.
If we're going to sign Michael Crabtree, sign right. Jordy Nelson.
That's what I'm saying, man.
All right, okay. I'm with you. Yeah,
Where is Jordy washed up is where I want to know. Where's Jordy washed up? Jordy voluntarily retired.
Hey, if Gutekunst, if they're going to and Murphy are going to free up $1 million to bring Melissa Etheridge to come perform at halftime, we could have free up $1 million to bring Jordy back for one more damn season, all right?
Should the Brewers hold should the Packers hold a stock sale?
We got money for Big and Rich. We got money for Jordy Nelson.
Exactly. To afford Jordy Nelson. We will hear from David Bakhtiari coming up. Some good stuff about how he got called for a hold that he said he didn't commit, but that was like the one time ever he didn't commit one, so he admits his fault. And then Arthur Arkish is going to join us in about 9 minutes to talk some NFC North, where the Packers rank, how this division could play out. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins on The Fan.
Him and Aaron really started getting on the whole back shoulders thing. I mean, it was just kind of an unstoppable thing, and they kind of toyed with opponents. The one that I do remember in the Super Bowl, we were all – Ted put us, all his personnel guys, up in a box in the Super Bowl. If you guys remember, he dropped a couple passes early, and the box wasn't too thrilled. But then he kind of came back, you know, the way he did. So it was, I think we went from one wanting to get rid of him to...
How about that, little Brian Gutekunst talking about...
Told you.
Wanting to get rid of Jordy Nelson.
He publicly stated that there, yeah. But
he was talking into a microphone 90 yards away, but if you didn't hear that, that was... Brian Gutekunst, thanks to Anthony for tweeting that in, AMTone23 on Twitter.
Having my back. But I knew this even before that he said that public. This was a few years ago. He was like, Gutekunst.
You got to start breaking some of these news bombs.
Well, I do. All the time, man. Did you hear me at the baseball playoffs? I knocked it out of the ballpark with news stories all day there.
This is a great, fun time.
Chuck Kopic.
Huh? Yeah. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
Daily here.
We'll talk to Arthur Arkish coming up, Pro Football Weekly, momentarily. Corey's in Burlington, 799-1250. Corey, what's up?
Hey, Corey.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I'm all for bringing, whether it's Jordy or just somebody else who can play and be a legitimate number two. Like, that's my biggest concern, is that we don't have a number two right now. Not to say that Allison and MBS can't turn into that, because Devontae, remember his first 2 years, he was dropping a lot of balls, and I definitely did not love him so much first year, for sure.
Yeah, I remember this one guy I knew was a good guy, but he wanted Devontae cut. And I was trying to tell
what him. What a clown.
Yeah, that guy.
Who was he?
Is he even radio anymore?
Oh, no. Is it me?
Oh, it might have been me, too.
Hey, or traded. I said or traded for a sixth-rounder.
Sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
We need Williams back, too. People who just want to see Aaron Jones, I mean, there's a reason he was a fifth or sixth-rounder. It's because he had durability issues, and it's a two-back league. We need two backs. So, yeah, I want to see Aaron Jones as the feature back, but we definitely need that number two back, too.
I wonder how LaFleur would have been back a few years ago when he had Lacy and Starks running the football. When he had Lacy and Starks, he had a little thunder and lightning there. Not that Starks was a...
Can we come up with a new name for running backs outside of thunder and
well,
lightning?
That's what you have when you have a guy who... Well, that's what teams like to have. They have a guy
and
who
And then
can,
if one of them's white, it's white lightning or thunder.
But when you have a guy go north-south, like Eddie Lacy... And then you have Starks, who can make cuts on a dime. I mean, that's where, that's what you have it. You have a guy go north-south and a guy who goes east-west.
We'll talk to Arthur Arkish, Pro Football Weekly, 2 minutes. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Sports Flash, right now.
From the 105.7 FM, The Fan Sports Update Studio, I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, Aaron Jones, named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Finishes the game against Dallas with 4 touchdowns, 182 total yards. Yesterday, tackle David Bakhtiari joined the Wendy's Big Show, where he was asked about Aaron Jones and that performance against Dallas on Sunday.
He's a weapon. Well, when he's on his A game, there's nothing that he really can't do. He's a stud. That's all I have to say about him. He's a weapon. He needs to be accounted for in every phase of the game.
Major League Baseball postseason continues to roll along. The Rays tie up the American League Division Series with the Astros at 2 games apiece with a 4-1 win on Tuesday night. Justin Verlander lasted just 3 2/3, gave up 4 earned runs, 3 walks, did strike out 5. Series now shifts back to Houston for a deciding Game 5 on Thursday night. The winner will play the New York Yankees in the AL Championship Series. Coming up today, the Braves host the Cardinals in Game 5 of their divisional series at 4:02. Winner of that game will face off with the winner of the Nationals and Dodgers. They meet in the nightcap tonight, 7:37. Good pitching matchup there. Steven Strasburg on the bump for the Nationals. Walker Buehler gets the ball for the Dodgers. Bucks back in action tonight. They host the Jazz in their second preseason game of the season. Tip-off for that one, 7 p.m. at the Pfizer Forum. Read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. The update brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom just happens to be a fever. So use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 70 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season, but we can always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere, download the radio.com app, and favorite The Fan today.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath, Arthur Arkish joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You look at this NFC North right now, and they've got a distinction that no division has had since 2012, where at this point of the season, heading into Week 6, every team is above 500. Packers 4-1, Detroit Lions 2-1-1, Minnesota Vikings 3-2, and the Bears, surprisingly, I think, to a lot of people, dropped that game in London, so they're 3-2 as well. Arthur Arkish, Pro Football Weekly, he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Art, welcome back to the show. How you been?
Hi, Art.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I've been outstanding. How about you? Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, good to always talk NFL with you guys and the great Arkish family who've, they're one of the fortresses of football knowledge in this country. Hey, Art, let's talk about this division. As Bart was, he's just alluding there. I mean, all these teams look like they're pretty good. Are they all pretty good in this division, or they have some of these teams like the Vikings beating up on bad teams?
No, I mean, I think the Vikings are legit. We had a good look at them, obviously, up close and personal at Soldier Field a couple Sundays ago, and that was not a proud day for Kirk Cousins and that offensive line, obviously, especially the way the Bears were playing shorthanded and still kind of dominated them. But you saw them get well. Yes, it was against the Vikings, but it was on the road, and I think more importantly, it was using you know, a script that's meant to be for 2019 in the NFL. You got to throw the football. Cousins was able to get the monkey off his back a little bit and get those guys involved, Adam Thielen and others. So, you know, as long as they have that defense, as long as they're remotely healthy, I imagine the Vikings are there to at least stick around in this thing. The Bears, I realize, coming off just a stunning loss in London, and probably no one more stunned than myself. But it's one game, and it was in London, so we'll see. Would they like to be better than 3-2 at the break in this muddled pack around the NFL? Of course, but how they come out of the bye with the Saints and Chargers coming to town in back-to-back weeks before that trip to Philly is going to determine the season, and frankly, we knew that even going into it before the 3-2 start. I think they just kind of removed their margin for error a little bit. And then, of course, Monday night, we'll find out if the Lions are for real. I think it's pretty obvious the Packers are. I am growing increasingly impressed by the week with what Matt LaFleur and those guys are doing. Also impressed with Matt Patricia, but now I want to see. They've already played some tough teams, but normally if the Lions are there to stick around, they're going to play well against the Packers. So really anxious to see this one.
Talking with Arthur Arkish, you can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish, Bears beat reporter, Pro Football Weekly, also managing editor there. I want to put you on the spot and have you rank the quarterbacks in this division, and then if you can rank the defenses in this division, because I think those are the two things that are going to separate whoever wins this thing from everybody else.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks, I think, is probably a little bit easier. You know, of course, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, and then I think it has to be Matt Stafford. And I think right now it probably has to be Kirk Cousins. I mean, the Bears don't even have a healthy starter right now, or you know, unless we're counting Chase Daniel, and that would make the decision even easier with him bringing in the rear. So, yeah, I think the Bears are in last when it comes
Trubisky
to the quarterback.
Would you put Trubisky over Kirk? Do you put Trubisky over him?
Gosh, I mean, right now I think it'd pretty much be a coin flip. Guys, Mitch has regressed so far this season. That's the story in Chicago, and it's troubling. I mean, with Matt Nagy and year two of Matt Nagy's offense, to not see the strides early on in the soft part of the schedule by Mitch is troubling. And there were signs going back to training camp that this could be an issue. So it's. I mean, it's all in front of him, but he's running out of time to prove that he's the guy here. He's got to prove that by the end of year three, no question about it. So, yeah, I think based off what we've seen thus far, I think maybe I would put Kirk just slightly ahead of Mitch, even if he's a little bit more limited overall. As far as the defenses go, I think the Bears are still the best. And that's not taking anything away from what Mike Pettine and those guys are doing there in Green Bay. It's been impressive. But I don't think it's been quite as consistent. In fact, I mean, I'm kind of a guy, you know, I like sample sizes, and I think the Vikings probably get a slight edge over the Packers here still defensively as well. But that doesn't mean the Packers' arrow isn't going up. And I think they're probably third. I think Detroit's right there too. Guys, I think what we're getting to is, as you mentioned at the top, it's the best division in football, and it's darn good. This thing is going to have four teams that are competing, I would imagine, down to the wire this season.
You know, the Detroit Lions have always been a running joke, and they put this on themselves. The coaching changes and forever. Now, I think when we looked at the teams in this division were going to be good, we thought Green Bay, we thought Chicago, we thought Minnesota, but nobody really gave Detroit much respect. Why did we overlook Detroit? Because obviously the Lions are a pretty good team.
Yeah, well, I think in large part we overlooked them because of what you said, because of their history, and it's easy to do when you have that to go off. Things weren't real pretty for Matt Patricia and his maiden voyage there in Motown, obviously. They did make some strides in the second half of the season, but you just heard these kind of rumblings about how, you know, his prickly relationship with the media, and are his players all in, and, you know, they start out with a couple embarrassing losses early. And those things are hard to overcome, and you know, he struggled to do that last season. But the Lions spent, gosh, I think more money than any team in the NFC, I believe. I know Detroit and Green Bay were right at the top in free agency, and no, that's not a sustainable, you know, recipe that you want to do year in and year out. But when you're kind of starting to build this thing up with a new head coach, it can make some sense if you make some smart, you know, and very kind of targeted purchases. Now, I haven't been as impressed just yet with, you know, spending on someone like Trey Flowers, obviously, as when you look at what Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith are doing in Green Bay. But they did import a lot of talent And they've still got a, you know, they made a change at offensive coordinator, trying to get Matt Stafford back in his comfort zone. That is clearly working thus far. Stafford's talent has never been a doubt. It's just been, you know, having him do it consistently, having him do it in a scheme that makes sense. And maybe last but not least, I mean, the defense has played well, but it's this offensive line. It's getting Kerryon Johnson going. They just seem to have better balance. And I think Patricia's doing a nice job coaching them right now. And again, as impressed as I've been, I mean, you know, you knock off the Chargers and, heck, except for what a fourth quarter out in Arizona, they played really well for the most part, in general, but we'll see. Now we get to do it on a primetime stage. Now they get to do it against one of the hotter teams in the league and, really anxious to see, what the latest incarnation of this kind of little mini rivalry looks like, here.
That game, of course, the Lions come to Green Bay Monday Night Football coming up after the weekend. You've got the Bears who are idle in the NFC North this weekend, and the Vikings host the Eagles. That game will be a Sunday game at noon. Offensively, have you been impressed by the Packers so far? I know it seemed a little disjointed at times. They did something that I don't think any of us ever thought we'd see, 4 touchdowns, none of those coming from Aaron Rodgers on Sunday against the Cowboys. Or do you still see a work in progress with the new head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it remains a work in progress, but, you know, hard not to be impressed by what Aaron Jones did. You know, the offensive line has seemed to play pretty well. I know they're plugging in this this new rookie guard who seems to be earning high marks and getting better by the week. So it was always going to be a work in progress on offense. But to be sitting where they are right now while they're a work in progress and to have, you know, this new look defense doing much of the heavy lifting, yeah, I don't know how you couldn't be impressed with kind of the whole product. But yes, also with the way specifically the offense is slowly coming together. And I got to be honest, I was in London. I still need to give a really close look. I was writing on deadline as that game was going on, and every 5 minutes I popped my head up because Aaron Jones scored another touchdown. But that's not exactly the way I want to watch a game sort of in depth. So I still need to get back to that one. But everything I've heard and everything I've seen thus far is that this thing is coming together quite nice. Now, guys, with Aaron Jones, as I know you know, let's see if he could do it for a full season because, you know, leads the NFL in yards per carry last year. No one doubts how dynamic and how explosive this kid is, but we do want to see if he can put it together for a full year, and especially with more on his plate, maybe the part people aren't talking about as much, or at least not nationally, is what he's doing as a receiver, of course, especially since Devontae Adams went down, so that part's huge, too. I've always loved his talent. I just, you know, I'm very curious to see if he can sustain it and kind of be that guy for 16 games.
Arthur Arkush. Pro Football Weekly joining us, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan, talking with Arthur Arkush. So you're covering the Bears. What's it like covering a game in London? What's the atmosphere there like? Is it like where it used to be, where people just wear any NFL jersey they can? Were there some real fans there? What was it like covering a game there?
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was my first time covering a game in London, so I don't really have a reference point or anything. But, and of course, it was the first game ever at this new, in lovely, I should add, this Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is just incredible. But it was cool. Yeah, I mean, I would say it felt like there was definitely an overwhelming majority of Bears fans, and that will surprise no one, of course. I mean, the Raiders are getting out of Dodge and moving to Las Vegas, so I'm not sure why their fans would be compelled to follow them to London. But yeah, there were Bears fans everywhere. There were NFL jerseys everywhere. So you definitely nailed that. I saw a ton of Packers gear. I saw a ton of, you know, obviously Cowboys and 49ers and Steelers gear, kind of what you would expect as well. So yeah, it was neat. I thought they did a really good job at that stadium for the first time around. You know, guys, pretty much everyone did a good job on the trip except for the Bears who failed to show up until the first half was over and they were looking up at a 17-0 deficit. So, you know, they almost overcome it in the third quarter, running off 21 straight, but that was a little bit fluky too. The Raiders were trying every way they could to give the Bears the game and they just wouldn't accept it. But, no, it was really neat. If people are going to go cover a game in London, I would encourage them to try and go for more than a long weekend because that's just not the best way to do it. I'm still kind of recovering from jet lag a few days after getting back. But all in all, yeah, really, really awesome trip. I was really grateful to have an opportunity to do something like that. I love doing it. I can't say I necessarily love the NFL in London in general just because of what they ask these players and coaches to do. And we saw a little bit of the struggles the Bears had with that, certainly.
Well, it seems like the international play is here to stay. NFL's playing there again this week. NFL's tried to play in Mexico City this past year, and they couldn't get it done because of the field. But you know, the Packers played in Winnipeg, and they had problems with their field. I think going overseas and playing internationally, that's the problem. It's like, how are the facilities going to be when you go? Because I've seen games in England, too, where that turf over there has been mushy.
Right. There were no issues with the facility this time around. Again, cut him the NFL ribbon for the first time ever at Tottenham. It was really fantastic. The locker room was incredible. The interview rooms, the press setup, not that anyone cares about that, but I don't think there will ever be a cooler press setup than there is there. You just have an incredible view at like the 50-yard line of the 100 level. It was actually the first game I've covered open air, so that was really neat too. But guys, just the logistics that are hard to overcome. You know, John Gruden kind of claimed that he learned from last year when he went over there in his first time back in the second stint with the Raiders, and they just got pounded after going over late in the week. So this time they play last week in Indianapolis and go straight there. They are in London Monday for the entire week. Matt Nagy had done it once with the Chiefs under Andy Reid, of course, a few years ago. They went late in the week, so he said, yeah, that's all I know. That's what we're going to do. Actually, they beat the Lions, I believe. They pounded them when they were there. So the Bears did that. They didn't get in until Friday afternoon. And while I don't think it's necessarily the reason that they lost, certainly it opened him up for scrutiny to come in so late and to have his players look so flat early in that game. But I think regardless of when you decide to travel, it's tough. I mean, these are truncated weeks it's difficult to just try and for creatures of habit. And we know that all players are to ask them to adjust so much and the same for coaches. It's pretty clear that this serves one faction of the NFL community, and that's the owners whose pockets continue to get fatter, and the players and the coaches have to work harder for the same amount of money.
Well, thanks for fighting through some jet lag to talk to us. We'll be in touch down the road. Arthur Arkish, Pro Football Weekly. Thanks, Art.
Thanks, Art.
Of course, guys. Have a great day. Thank
you. All right, AA.
Arthur Arkish joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on Twitter at the same name. Great Midwest Bank looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Our time is coming. Our time is coming. And the Packers have avoided this for the longest time, but our time is coming where the Packers are going to have to go over there and pay the piper. And you know, if Murphy thought going to Winnipeg was his way of getting out of going to England someday, I just hope they don't make the Packers take a home game.
Well, they won't.
I don't like the fact that these teams are losing home games because we get 8 home games a year in our country for our respective teams. Having to go play a game over internationally is just, it's a slap in the face to the home fan base.
That's why you add game 17, neutral site. Some go to London. Some can play it at Camp Randall. I mean, that's what I see happening.
Yeah, but they're going to have to shorten up the preseason then.
Right.
They're going to have to short. See, I still don't like the 17th game. I don't. You know, when they went from 14 to 16 games in 1978, when they went from 14 to 16 games, you're laughing, but I'm telling you, that's a fact. It ruined some records because a 1,000-yard rusher back in 14 games meant something. 1,000-yard rusher with 16 games kind of lost some steam. Now you had a 17th game with some of these records. I don't like it.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll hear from David Bakhtiari. Again, David Bakhtiari admits to basically holding on every play, but not when he's called for it. We'll hear him after 9 o'clock. Want to dash your championship hopes, though, for one of the teams that you love. Bunch of teams here in the state have championship hopes. Let's dash one. We'll do that next. Chuck and Winkler on the
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers worked out over a dozen players and signed a tight end, Ethan Wolf. He's 6'6", 252 pounds, has spent time with the Titans, Panthers, and Jaguars, and he fills the last spot on the team's practice squad. The Packers will practice tomorrow as they get ready to host the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
We kind of kicked everything back a day, give our guys a little bit more rest. As you know, we've got some guys battling through some things, so I thought an extra day of rest could serve us well.
Safety Darnell Savage Jr. reportedly dealing with a high ankle sprain after Sunday's win in Dallas. With a win over Detroit, the Packers would secure the lead in their division. Packers safety Adrian Amos.
Man, I'm big on this the next game. You know what I'm saying? This next game is important because it's the next game. It's still early in the season and it's a long season. we go out there and beat them, we still have, you know, a lot more season to go.
The Lions are coming off their bye week, 2-1-1 after a tough loss in Kansas City, head coach Matt Patricia.
You know, the one thing for us after the first four games or first 4 weeks, I'd say the, you know, the thing that we'll build on the most is really our process. Right now, I think we're kind of, you know, obviously in rhythm. We understand what the week looks like. We understand what the work is that has to go in, week out in order to prepare and get ready to go. And you know, that's really important to us is that process.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath, Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm getting killed on Twitter. I'll bring that up in a second. Want to dash some championship hopes momentarily, or maybe we speak them up. Because, yeah, we're all excited about the Bucs. They could go places. The Packers off to a good start. What's your take on the Badgers right now, Chuck, after the win they had again over this weekend? That's the third time. Sure, a lesser opponent, but it's the third time they've held a team to no points this year. And they put up 48 on their own.
Do you realize they're holding offenses to 5 points a game? 5 points a game. Jim Leonard's going to be up for some head coaching jobs at the end of the season. Now, you hear that all he cares about is the University of Wisconsin and all that, but if somebody throwing some big-time money at Jimmy Leonard, the defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, former player from Park Falls, they're going to throw some he's going to have to go, man. A head coaching job? That's my fear, that he's going to leave someday because he might be the best defensive coordinator they ever had, and who would have known? But they're really good, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of high expectations of Wisconsin this year, but they're getting good quarterback play. They're getting, obviously, Jonathan Taylor's been terrific. The young offensive line has been performing. The defense, as I mentioned, is great. And Paul Christ, after last year, when people thought maybe after last year when they went 8-5 and lost in that bowl, or they won in that bowl game against Miami out in New York at Yankee Stadium, that the program might be going the other direction, that there might be a couple of lean years. Not the case, my friend. He has bounced back, and they are in the conversation for a national championship right now.
Well, the defense is very motivated after a year ago. Jonathan Taylor looks as good as ever. And you're right, Jack Cohn's performed maybe better than expected, and he's sort of, for the most part, quieted the Graham Mertz should be the starting quarterback conversation. The date that you have to circle, obviously, is the 26th of this month. It's when the Badgers go to Ohio State. And right now, I don't think the Badgers can beat Ohio State right now. I would put the spread, if that game had a spread, I'm going 10-point favorite Ohio State.
Ooh.
At home.
I was thinking more like 7.
Badgers are a 10-point favorite ahead of Michigan State this weekend.
That's about right.
So is the difference between Wisconsin and Michigan State greater or lesser than Ohio State, Wisconsin?
Well, that's second. I mean, Ohio State took Michigan State out in the first half right away. That big second quarter last Saturday night, they took them out right away. And I think Michigan State isn't as bad as we saw on Saturday. I think Ohio State made them look that way. Yeah, their game.
I'm more looking at when Michigan State lost to Arizona State.
Yeah,
at home.
But
that's what I'm looking at.
No, but ASU might be the real deal.
Well, then they dropped one, too.
Coached by Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards.
Former Jets coach. Yes. Broadcaster. ESPN, too. But people laugh when he got that job, but he's actually been doing pretty good.
Did you have an encyclopedia under your pillow last night or something?
No, I'm just telling you, man. I'm just giving you some facts. Nothing wrong with giving you some facts.
No, it's good.
So, I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room, but I'm telling you, he was a good coach with the Jets. I thought he should have never lost his job there. And, you know, when he got the Arizona State job, the people said, why is Herm Edwards getting this job? He's been great.
Much more on this later today on the Radio.com podcast, 20 Minutes of College Football. It's a podcast that Ryan Horvath and I do each week that will drop a little bit later today. We talk a little more college football online than we do on the show, so you can check that out coming up today, Radio.com. Also under the Chuck and Winkler section.
When you see Wisconsin through these first handful of games here, do you see national championship caliber team?
I think we can talk about that, but I think Ohio State's going to get in the way.
Yeah,
is the problem.
Yeah.
So if they beat Ohio State, well then, duh.
Well, they would see him again, though.
Yeah, they could see him
in the
twice.
Big Ten title game.
Right.
So is it better to win later? It's better to lose this one.
Can you beat them twice?
You know, weird college football is we get into all that.
You have to beat them twice, actually.
In our podcast. I'm getting killed on Twitter, and this is why I put this poll up on my Twitter account and not the station's. I asked, should the Packers bring back Jordy Nelson? I didn't even ask that. I said, should the Packers try to lure him out of retirement? 61% of you say no. Michael says, please stop with this. Matt has a gif of someone beating a dead horse. Another Matt has blocked the phrase Jordy Nelson in his Twitter mentions. Matt says, there's reasons why I don't listen to your show, and this type of stuff is one of them. But he also follows me.
Yeah, and what is he listening to then?
So
what a clown.
No, I voted, actually.
Shame him. Shame him.
Then why follow you, exactly, if you don't listen to the show?
Oh, yeah, I always tell people, if you don't like me, man, why put yourself through that problem?
Good, call in. We'll talk Middle East. Possible exit strategy with you. Sorry.
We could talk incremental tax financing.
Sure, we could talk about that.
I mean, okay. But, I mean, if you don't like me on Twitter,
we could talk about how Pat Connaughton's buying real estate downtown.
Ooh, actually, we should.
Does that mean Pat Connaughton's here long term? Like Christian Yelich?
If Giannis bought an apartment complex downtown, it would be the top story.
Maybe Giannis needs to buy some of these things.
But Pat Connaughton does it, and it's whatever.
Maybe Giannis needs to get in with Christian Yelich and go on some business.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. David Bakhtiari admits to holding on every single play. We'll hear from him next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.